I apologize for that. I was stuck behind the train again. I guess.
What is it? Train 20, Charlie Zero?
I guess it's time to make a decision. I live 10 to 12 minutes away, depending on traffic. I usually leave about 25 minutes early. 20 to 25, and wasn't good enough today. So I guess I'm going to have to just start leaving even earlier, or just taking an entirely new trainless route. But I feel like a broken man now.
The train finally broke you? Is it just snapped your will to drive to work?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't have it in me anymore.
To wait 20 minutes. I think it's funny that it's just always stopped. Like, you never get you never run into the running train. It's just always picking up there or dropping off or whatever it's doing.
But, yeah, I just, and then today I just turned around. So now I'm also going to be sit here. It's like I gave up. I couldn't. Part of me was like, I never will give up. I'll sit behind this train until midnight. And the other part of me was sitting there with the radio on, listening to a bunch of ads playing and saying, yeah, this doesn't sound very good. I can't risk staying here until midnight.
Yeah, this is terrible radio.
So I was like, you know what, I will turn around. So I had to turn around and like backtrack all the way up through downtown and then get on the interstate. But now I'll also just be sitting here wondering the rest of the day.
Did that train move I turned around?
Did it move? Did I waste an extra 5 minutes of my life?
That's the worst feeling, is that turnaround. When you make that turnaround, you're like, I bet that train's moving now.
I don't know. Anyone out there?
But you made the adult decision. You turned around. You made it here. And that's what matters. And that's all the people care about, is that you're here talking to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
People were waiting on your voice, Charlie.
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
I was waiting on your voice, Charlie.
I'm sure they were.
I missed it.
But anyway, Stackhouse, how you doing today?
Dude, I'm great, actually. I got to go to the eye jams yesterday.
Let's go.
It was a blast. Paddleboarded around out there. Got me a little 12-pack out there in a cooler. Floated around for a few hours while it was still a nice day, unlike today. And just enjoyed myself. Burnt my legs. I forgot to put sunscreen on my legs. Forgot that I had them. Yeah, I forgot I had them. And got a little burnt on the shoulders, but other than that, I'm pretty good.
I'm peeling bad now.
Really?
Maybe a little bit. I had blisters all last night from that sunburn. I got off work and I took my shirt off and my shoulders down to my elbows.
I told my girlfriend, blisters. I said, I'm going to one-up Charlie. I'm going to get burned today. And I'm scared.
Yeah, I guess.
You were the one person in my back of my head that reminded me to put sunscreen on. I was like, I remember the discomfort.
I guess the Hoover weather has caught up to us here in Knoxville. I'm assuming that's the same weather, you know, south. They're
Yeah, it's like
they're southwest of us. Weather usually moves like northeast.
Yeah, it's got a little of a backwards lean to the storm. Yeah, so it hits us a day later.
Because it's kind of gross here. It's going to rain all day. So that's a fun one. But at least it's going to also rain tomorrow, just a little bit. We actually played more baseball yesterday in Hoover than I anticipated.
Yeah, I was actually very surprised we got that last game in.
I mean, it was only two games, but I was thinking, like, hopefully one game.
Yeah, it looked bad all day.
So, we had a, you know, we got that first game in. It was Kentucky. Upsetting Auburn. 3-1. And what was actually a really fun game. I don't know if any of y'all got to watch that, but it was 1-0 pretty much the entire game, and then bottom of the eighth, Sonny DeShara, Sonny D, the co-SEC player of the year, hit a baseball to the moon and tied it up and was fired up. I mean, he was fired up. And that was right after, in the top of the eighth, Auburn had a beautiful relay to catch a runner trying to, you know, go from first to home. So that game was great. Top of the ninth, it was 1-1, and Kentucky goes back-to-back. One of the sneakiest hitters in the SEC, Araja New, with the bomb as well in that top of the ninth. So Kentucky actually, hey, ending Auburn's SEC tournament
early.
Early.
Yeah, I was did not reciprocate that Sonny D energy going into that top of the ninth. Those back-to-back homers, man, that was just – I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah, but, you know, good for Kentucky. I always like when you see teams that aren't going to make the NCAA tournament, aren't going to make the World Series, whatever. I always like when you see them win some games in the conference tournament as long as it's not against Tennessee. And they're the first number 12 seed to win an SEC tournament game.
Oh, wow. Huh. The first 12?
That doesn't make sense. I feel like that can't be true, but on the Southeastern Conference, you know, the SEC Twitter, they have a graphic that says, little eyeball emojis, UK baseball out here fighting. And on the graphic, it says first number 12 seed to win an SEC tournament game with Kentucky on the baseball.
Out here fighting.
So shout out Kentucky. You know, that was interesting. And I guess it feels weird to say that given that we're, you know, Tennessee people, but shout out Kentucky.
Yeah.
Also, shout out Alabama.
Yeah, that was the way
which
better.
Feels
episode
even
of the day.
Worse to say, but Alabama and Arkansas gave us another really good game. I mean, the games that we've gotten in Hoover, which have been few and far in between, have been really good to watch. But Alabama, their third straight win over Arkansas. Arkansas now
just holding on.
Yeah, I mean they're. Go to the loser's bracket, but they lost, again, a series to Alabama to end the year. You know, before that, I think, you know, they dropped a series with Vanderbilt, and now they're losing their first game of the SEC tournament. You know, they did a lot of pocket watching. They did a lot of talking. A lot of, you know, we want to make that team in the orange over there at the top of the East shake their heads.
We want to make sure they know that we're coming, that we've got bats too.
And now they can't, you know, ain't even gonna play be talking good enough to baseball us. To even earn the right to play us.
That's
maybe
exactly
they should,
right.
You know, focus a little bit more on their scouting reports, on their game planning.
I mean, they only got
just
three people
every
hitting the ball
second,
last night.
Thinking about the University of Tennessee.
I agree. Three players out of their nine swinging the bat touched the ball yesterday.
Arkansas is now headed, you know, obviously to the loser's bracket, but they're headed towards pretty much a guarantee of...
Who do they play?
Not hosting a region.
Oh!
They are pretty much guaranteed at this point, I feel like, to be a two. You know, I guess... I take that back. If they run through the loser's bracket and like they get to the semifinals or finals, yeah, you could still see them hosting a region. But
I didn't even think about them losing a region out of this.
Yeah, I mean, even like going into the weekend, I don't think D1 baseball had them hosting a region anymore.
Oh, wow. And that probably did not help their case
at
all.
Obviously not helpful.
This is something that kind of went over my head. Wasn't even paying attention to that.
Now for D1 baseball, today is May 26th, so they're updated May 26th. Bracketology has Alabama in after, you know, making a run, which they were not in at all heading into the SEC tournament, or at least heading into that final series with Arkansas. They've really fought their way back in. And then Ole Miss, in that last four in as well, barely hanging on. But they are hanging on after, you know, they don't have any games left to play.
Yeah. So they're just hoping somebody else in these first four out just have a collapse, basically. Yeah, so they got Knoxville, Statesboro, Blacksburg, Charlottesville, Stanford.
Looking at, looking at the latest projections from D1 baseball, still Tennessee, Coppin State, Wake Forest, Wofford, still going up against a Statesboro region that would feature Georgia Southern, Campbell, Georgia, and Georgia Tech.
What, do they just stick all the Georgia colleges in one bracket?
Yes. Well, and Campbell. They're Bowie's Creek, North Carolina. But Arkansas, I'm still looking at a two seed in terms of D1 baseball. Looking at the two seed in the Austin Regional with Texas, McNeese, State, Clemson. As for D1 baseball, their latest projected field from today, they also have, you know, Knoxville and Tennessee, number one, which is obvious. I mean, yeah, doesn't really even need to be said anymore.
It's just an assumption that needs to be made.
They have you with Wake Forest again, and then Liberty and Alabama State, which, you know, Alabama State, not a good baseball team. Liberty, not a bad baseball team. Wake Forest, again, you know, a team that we've talked about, they can hit the baseball for sure. They're definitely a little dangerous, but in this one, the potential region that you would match up with in a super regional is the Stillwater region with number one, Oklahoma State, number three, Arizona, number four, Campbell, but the number two would be Arkansas. So I guess there is, you know, still the possibility that maybe you run into Arkansas in a super regional. And could you imagine how crazy that would be?
Oh, that would be a nuts game.
That would be one of the most must-watch.
Yeah, that's a
baseball.
It'd be a must
series, at least in college baseball terms, like ever.
Yeah, pre-Omaha. Oh, that'd be just sick.
I mean, that would certainly be incredible. So, I would love. I don't know. Yeah, I think I'd love to see that. I mean, honestly, playing Arkansas would make me a little nervous just because, you know, you have a lot to lose.
And
I don't know how much you could really gain in terms of bragging rights, because if you beat them, you know, you'd obviously gain going to the College World Series, but you could do that playing anyone. So I don't know if I'd want it to be Arkansas, because if you just beat Arkansas, that's a two seed, well, then it's just, well, you were supposed to beat us. You're the number one overall seed. With mm-hmm. two seed.
That's the worst part about being number one.
That would kind of be a lose-lose. Like, I don't want to beef down. But certainly some interesting projected matchups.
That'd be crazy. We run up against Oklahoma State immediately.
I would, yeah. I mean, in the Super,
yeah.
Oklahoma State, I mean, they've faded a little bit down the stretch, too. Looking at today, starting in, you know, about 3 minutes, should be Texas A&M and Florida. Won't be Texas A&M and Florida, as we're in a weather delay and the start time is to be determined. But that's the first game of the day at some point today. And at some point today, hopefully, maybe, Tennessee and Vanderbilt are going to play each other too.
We're getting to the end of the storm right now. It's looking like.
Yeah. Vanderbilt will play after Texas A&M plays Florida. And then LSU and Kentucky will play after Tennessee plays Vanderbilt. And then today, Arkansas and the loser of Texas A&M and Florida will play the last game of the night. So Arkansas can be your next team to get sent home. Again, so far, Georgia, Auburn, South Carolina. Georgia, Auburn, South Carolina, and Ole Miss have been sent home. They join, obviously, Missouri and Mississippi State that didn't make the tournament. So, six teams down, eight to go. And again, two more sent home in the next five games. Looking at the schedule, Friday, they think you'll have the Tennessee Vandy loser against the LSU Auburn loser. You'll have Alabama against the A&M Florida winner. Tennessee Vandy winner against the LSU Kentucky winner.
Are there three
three scheduled games today? Like, so who's supposed to play?
There
after
are four
us?
Scheduled games today.
Oh, really?
Again, A&M, Florida, Tennessee, Vandy, LSU, Kentucky, and then Arkansas and loser of A&M.
Yeah, they might push for three today.
Yeah, again, I don't. I mean, they're gonna make someone play a doubleheader today. Whoever loses A&M in Florida.
Oh, that stinks. Yeah, because it looks like the storm is basically gone by three. Like that last, that's the last wall of rain. It's what it's looking like on the local Doppler radar. So I mean, if you get things started like consistently and uninterrupted from three, I'm thinking you probably get baseball until 2 a.m. tonight.
Yeah, I think so.
Unless, you know, there's a game that just goes into extra innings or something like that, which I'm not expecting too much of.
Honestly, I mean, any of these games could go to extra innings the way this field plays. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think they're going to try to get four games in.
Today's the first chance you actually get the opportunity.
And if you, I mean, so again, we think that they can maybe start at, like, one this time.
Yeah.
We'll call it, I guess, looking at the weather, is local time. So, like, two this time. But, like, one their time, we think they can start. So, the first game, we'll say, what, 2 hours a game, 2.5?
Yeah.
2.5 hours a game, plus 30 minutes in between. So, you know, start at one, the next game at four, the next game at seven, and then the final game starting at
11?
At 10. So 11 Eastern time. That's doable.
Oh, yeah, our time.
That's doable. And in actuality, you know, it's probably starting at like 11:30 Eastern time.
Yeah.
Midnight maybe. But, you know, still, I think you can maybe squeeze that in. But even if you do, I don't really know where that leaves you. Like, there are still so many games that need to be played. You know, you're far behind at this point. Like, looking at this bracket, I mean, Tennessee still hasn't played a game that was supposed to be played yesterday, obviously. And, you know, we have three games that were supposed to be played yesterday that haven't been played yet. So, I mean, you're three games behind heading into today with more weather.
You're probably looking at wrapping up on Monday if they're not going to go to single elimination. You're just going to – I'm working on the assumption they're just going to push till Monday.
If you get all four of these games in, then you still have 5 games to play before Saturday, which would then be the semifinals. So
that's pretty doable.
I honestly, you know, when you really start to spell it out, I think maybe you could play 5 games on Friday.
If you just push them all up an hour or so.
Can you make someone start at 8:30 in the morning?
I don't know. I mean, why not? Shoot. I you're making people play at 11:30.
Like maybe you can make someone play at 8:30 in the morning and then 11:30 and then
3:30,
2:30, and then like 5:30 and then
I mean, you could
7:30 or 8:30. I don't know. I think there's a way to get 5 games in.
I mean, you could also just do 4 and then play one early in the morning, like they did how they tried to do the Auburn Kentucky game, and just put them at like super early, get that extra game out of the way, and then start the semifinals.
What they could also do, I guess, is so again, they have 3 Wednesday games to get in and 4 Thursday games to get in. Today, they're trying to get 4, which would then put you 3 games behind still. But with Friday only supposed to, you know, only supposed to have 2 games, you could get more in tomorrow because then Saturday is also 2 games. And those games that were supposed to be played Friday, those are like to get out of the loser's bracket to get to the semifinals is what Friday's games are. So like if Tennessee won 2 in a row, they wouldn't be included in those games. They'd just be
okay,
in the semifinals.
Yeah.
But if you lose, you're going to have to go through the loser's bracket. And that's what those games are, the Friday ones. So maybe, you know, you could have those Saturday and make those teams just play two games in one day.
You
know, if you come out of the loser's bracket, then you have to play again in the semifinals that day.
That's the problem with going to the loser's bracket. I mean, maybe you get inconvenience.
So, I mean, there are, I feel like at this point, there are solutions. You know, there are, it feels more doable, but again, we still just have to find a way to make this rain stop. You know, we still just have to get games in, and that's, I guess, where we're at. Fortunately, again, 1 p.m. says a 60% chance of rain, and 2 p.m. and 3 p.m., you know, still overcast, but, like, 4, it gets kind of partly cloudy, and then it is clear skies in Hoover from pretty much 5 o'clock today through next Wednesday. Which, thanks a lot, Hoover.
Yeah.
A little late there, but... 5 beautiful days in a row. Yeah, you could have timed that out a little bit better. Come on, now.
That is the worst part. Just, you know, it's coming to be just a beautiful rest of the week.
But, yeah, I mean, with all that being said, hopefully we get... Hopefully it's a Tennessee game day. Hopefully today is actually... Maybe for real this time, a Tennessee game day. Yesterday, I think... We put the chances of Tennessee actually playing a baseball game at, I think I said like 2.6% or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they already canceled our game in the middle.
Today I'd put it at like a solid 79, 89%.
I'm going to go for like a 90%. We're the second game scheduled today, so.
Yeah, you know, I'll put it at 89.7%.
You're at least getting today. Two, and there's no way they get. Honestly, I'm thinking you at least get 3.
I'd put it at really even, you know, that would really talk. 90 something.
I'd go 100. I'm big. All in.
We're playing a game today.
Yeah!
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 We're going to today.
Woo! All right, well, here we go. We got everybody pumped up.
Yeah!
There's some energy out there, baby.
Train suck. Stay with us here on the Blitz. Peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me. You know how I like it when you loving on me. I don't want to die for them. Back here. Oh. Oxygen got me. Back here on the Blitz. Charlie and Stackhouse hanging out with you. We got the Indy 500 this week, by the way. You like that? I know you like Formula One and all that, but
oh god,
can you get behind IndyCar too?
Yeah, oh no, honestly, I mean, I've started kind of get into it more the more I've gotten into F1, because it's a sister, it's just a lot cheaper to get into, and so the difference between the two really is that every car either has a Chevy engine or a Honda engine. Okay. And basically every car has to be built the same. No, it's just a Chevy or Honda. I don't know who else has tried to break through, but right now it's just the two engine classes, and they just race each other all day. The cars itself can go; they have a better top speed, but they can't handle the corners as quick as an F1 car is. It's just the different builds. But IndyCar, I've kind of gotten a little bit more into it because it's everything's a little bit more closer, competitive wise. In Formula One, you have breakups of the front of the field, the midfield, and the backfield, which is just the teams that have most money. The most money is going to win the race. Middle of the teams are like McLaren, AlphaTauri, and Aston Martin, per se. And then the back of the field's like Alfa Romeo and all these other car companies that are just there. They have enough money to get into it, but they just don't have enough money to beat the cap. So it's less of a money race than just racing. So I've kind of gotten into it, and the Indy 500 is something you just have to watch for historical purposes.
Okay.
It's definitely worth it. I think
going to need you... What, today's Thursday? I'm going to need you tomorrow to give me the winner.
Okay, I got you.
And I will be betting on it.
I'm pretty sure Jimmy Johnson is supposed to be racing in this for the first time.
That's weird. I don't think I like
it. He's been racing IndyCar, but I think he got in a wreck and hurt himself. I'm pretty sure he got injured at a couple points last season, and he's about to get back into it. But I don't remember. Don't quote me on that. I kind of just touched on it. But
I just know I...
And then F1 is in Monaco. So, I mean, you got two legendary races this weekend that you can really get into.
Monaco,
I've baby. Heard of that. It's a beautiful, beautiful track. Super fast. It's a beautiful place.
Do you watch that show on Netflix? The F1 show?
Yes. The Drive to Survive?
Yeah.
No, that is. It's a bit dramatic.
So they do a great job of trying to grab your attention with the dramatics of F1, but the biggest, I guess, dislike of the show is how dramatic they make things. Like, they overdo it at times, and they overreach into how dramatic things are getting on the course and how much, I guess, anger there is between a couple teams. But other than that, I mean, the show does do a great job of educating you on the sport and getting you involved and actually just enjoying the overall aspect of knowing that there's, like, you're rooting for one or two cars to win the championship, and then you have your favorite drivers that you like seeing battle throughout the midfield. But if you just sit there and watch, like, the first season, I think that's the best season. But they do a great job. I love that show.
See, I never really cared about F1 before, but...
Well, I had to find some racing.
But I have, like, thought about watching that and seeing if, like, it draws me in.
I started playing the video game back in, like, 2015, 2014. And it is easily one of the most realistic experiences you can get with just a controller. Not having a whole racing sim set up, but it just the feel, knowing that you can set up the car different ways. I love it, dude. The game itself is beautiful.
I just thought about that. I looked at my Snapchat memories this morning when I woke up, and the first one is just a beer do, and I knew, oh, that must have been 8500 day. Which is beer dues, by the way. My brother and his friends invented them in college, or at least
okay.
The name. You just...
What are they?
You get a spoon, scoop up a scoop of coffee grounds, put it in your mouth, and then chug a beer and wash it down.
Is it delicious?
It's awful.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, it's disgusting.
Oh.
It's just, I don't know. Apparently one time at a party, someone just went, beer do!
Oh.
Did it. And everyone's just like, what'd you just do? And
he goes, I was like, maybe that gave it a coffee flavor. You get like a coffee cake flavor and going.
Yeah, but everyone was like, well, what did you do? And he's like, I don't really know. And then they was like, well, yeah, we want to do it too.
We're doing that all the time.
And then it would just be like, for special occasions, they just whip out the beer dues. But I'm telling you, that was, I think, the first time I tried one. And there's nothing worse than a spoonful of coffee grounds and a lukewarm Miller Lite at 6:30.
Oh, yes, sir.
I almost projectile vomited.
Me and my homie tried to get into NASCAR again, just because we wanted to watch every bit racing. And we started watching those Busch Light commercials, and boy, that was the beer for like 2 years because they were so funny. And so there's no better excuse than watching NASCAR just to drink, because it's like, yeah, everyone's drinking to watching NASCAR. Yeah, it's a pastime.
I got the Snapchat memory too, though, popping up of like the actual race, the 2 minutes of the actual race I watched.
Yeah.
And these cars are just going so fast, man. It's
rarely let off the gas in Indy. They rarely let off the gas. It's pretty sick. It's about 200 miles an hour around the whole thing. It's spectacular. I really just watch it because of how many people hate watching racing and how much that they always try to say that it's easy and it's not a sport. And they just don't understand the complexities of the sport in general and how much different racing in NASCAR is than F1.
Racing is...
I guess out of defiance to the way of the world. But NASCAR is just terrible now. They're losing it.
Well, again, tomorrow, Stackhouse, you better give me
I'll give you a whole rundown of it.
You can give me a whole rundown.
I'll give you top five and everything.
But I just need one winner. You don't get to be like, this is a good value play.
Okay, I
guess
you.
Is that.
One true pick.
I understand that's actually like a better, more comprehensive breakdown, but I just want.
You just want a winner?
The winner.
I can give that to you.
And I will be betting on him, yeah.
I got you.
All right, well, stay tuned for that tomorrow, and stay tuned on the other side. We'll wrap up hour one right here on the Blitz. Final segment of hour one here on the Blitz. Let's do that. Hockey. Just hitting all everyone's favorite sports in East Tennessee in segment one.
We're gonna break them into it, man. I'm with you. You got to broaden your horizons if you're a sports fan. There's just too many athletes out there to not love them all.
Well, last night, the Blues went on the road to Colorado trying to stave off elimination. It was 3-1. The series was... After Nazem Kadri injured Binnington, the Blues goalie, and then proceeded to also score a hat trick, a natural hat trick on them the following game to give the Blues that 3-1, or I mean, the Avalanche that 3-1 series lead. But last night, it was the Avs back at home trying to close the series. Nathan MacKinnon, 2 goals in the first period. You know, for as unbelievable as Connor McDavid is, this guy's also pretty freaking
unreal. He got out of that goal slump to this game, too.
So, you know, he finally kind of broke free in this playoffs. And then Gabriel Landeskog adds one more, and the building's rocking. The Avs up 3-0 in the second period, ready to punch their ticket into the Western Conference Finals. And it was at that point that Vladimir Tarasenko put one in at the end of the second period to get it to 3-1. From there, you had Rob Thomas scoring to get it to 3-2, and then Jordan Kyrou to get it to 3-3.
Yeah, I couldn't believe they made this comeback.
On the road, somehow the Blues last night erased a 3-0 deficit to come back and win this game. I mean, again, just unbelievable that they, you know, that they got off the ropes like that, pretty much, because they were dead.
Well, I switched channels because it was already 3-0, so I went over there to the Heat Boston game, came back and it was tied. Blew my mind.
So yeah, with 54 seconds left or 56 seconds left in the game, they tie it with Thomas. Ends up heading to OT. And then in overtime,
a snippy snipe. Sniper.
Tyler Bozak.
Yeah.
Wins it for St. Louis.
Right under the glove. It's beautiful.
I highly doubt that the Blues, without their, you know, star goaltender, are able to erase a 3-1 series deficit, but they forced a game 6 back at their place. You know, you protect home ice and then
you're in a
game
seven.
Throw everything out the window. Game 7, anything can happen. So I guess there's still a chance. Game 6 will be on Friday night.
Just knowing McKinnon's back to scoring, though, is scary for me. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's it for them. They got the luckiness, and McKinnon's back to scoring. It's going to be dangerous.
Tonight, you have more hockey, as Rangers-Hurricanes Game 5 is tonight, and Oilers-Flames Game 5 is tonight. The first of that nightcap, first of the night doubleheader, is that Rangers-Hurricanes series. That Hurricanes right now, -150 on the money line. Rangers have won 2 straight in the series after Carolina won the first 2-1 and then 2-0. Again, it was then the Rangers 3-1 at home and 4-1 at home. This series, I don't really know what to expect here, but I imagine that it's going to just continue to be
home ice advantage.
That it's just going to continue to be
Carolina play away from their own ice anyway, so
because that's what it's been so far. I mean, Carolina has been.
They're undefeated at home.
Untouchable
and been broken on the road.
Untouchable at home. Yeah, and then
very touchable on the road.
Very, very touchable. Again, I read this yesterday, but they're the third team to lose first 5 road games in a single postseason ever.
That's insane.
They are 0-5 on the road this postseason, averaging 4.2 goals allowed a game, and have a goal differential of -13 on the road. But at home, again, 6-0, 1.17 goals allowed per game, and a 15 positive in the right direction.
It's a very dramatic difference.
Goal differential, which
yeah.
The one thing I don't know if they can figure out Shakhtyrin. Old Igor.
Yeah.
They had it. I mean, they got some pretty good looks, you know, at the net in New York, and they just couldn't get it past him. They couldn't crack him, which, you know, they didn't really score a lot of goals in either of the first 2 games at home either. But they played good enough defense. I mean, only allowing one goal over two games to win those games either way. You know, it's 2-1 and 2-0. So it's not like they've had a lot of offensive firepower. I just don't know if they can continue to hold that Rangers offense down. So they're going to have to find a way to score in Shakhtarian, and that's going to be tough. And then the nightcap tonight, the battle for Alberta continues. There's still, again, so much hatred in this.
I think I've seen the stat. They have the most scrums. They have the most scrums in NHL history. Like the two teams together, there's over like 580.
Let's go.
I think at the beginning of game two, it was at 583. So I assume that's gone up to about 590 per se.
Yeah, Edmonton a 3-1 series lead right now. Again, you should watch this game. If you don't like hockey, you should still watch this game because you should watch Connor McDavid, because what Connor McDavid is doing in this playoffs is
he makes men look like boys. He's
some of the best hockey that has ever been played in NHL history.
It's unfair.
I mean, what he is doing is on par with Wayne Gretzky, if not, you know, in this individual little window, better than Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah. I mean, he is. I mean, you can just go out game one. They were down 6 goals, and they come back to still lose the game, but they came back 6 goals with McDavid and Draisaitl. I mean, that's. I mean, you're talking about some of the best hockey being played in a long time.
Yeah, neither of these teams are great at preventing goals, but both of these teams have a lot of firepower offensively.
Yeah, Goudreau.
Especially the Oilers. So, that should be really fun. The Oilers out 3-1. I think Calgary wins tonight. I think Calgary gets this to 7 somehow.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't see how
this
it doesn't.
Game, I mean, it only feels right if this series goes to 7. So, that's what you got on tap tonight. I highly recommend watching it. I really do.
Oh, you're going to see some hands flying, too.
Highly recommend watching it.
You just want to see some grown men fight. Just
could not recommend it enough. Please, watch some hockey tonight. Yeah, but hey, let's do that hockey. We did that hockey, and we did hour one. Hour two on deck. Stay with us on FanRun Radio.